Hey, this is Kevin Weatherby of Say the Cowboy. I want you to toe that stirrup, throw a leg over the cantle, take a deep seat, and pull your hat down tight. I ain't gonna tolerate no whining or griping, so let's all strike a long trot down that narrow trail and learn how to ride with God. Come on! What you waiting on? Let's go.
Good morning. Welcome to Save the Cowboy. It's great to see everybody braving the cold out here this week. Whenever I got back from Texas before last Sunday, like last Thursday or Friday or something, I brought my mom home with me, and she hadn't wanted to come up here and visit me in the winter because she says it's too cold. And I said, well, Mom, it gets cold for a couple of days, and then it goes on, and it'll be fine. Nope. We've been stuck in the house for 7 days, but we did go to Estes Park and visit with my cousin and stuff like that. So, Mom, it's a pleasure to have you here today. And an even greater pleasure that I will have is to be able to sit with my wife and my mom, and I get to go to church today. Why is that? Because I'm especially proud to present your presenter today. It's been a long time coming. Please welcome to the stage your very own Mr. Ty Weber.
That's my boy. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. Like Kevin said, it's been a while. I want to thank Kevin today for the opportunity to be up here and the encouragement that he gave me and the not so gentle nudge. A lot of you guys know me, and a lot of you guys don't, but I'm naturally kind of an introvert, and I find it a lot easier to go hang out with God's cows than I do with his people most of the time. But that's not what he wants, and so, yeah.
Like put it on like an ear tag? Nose ring? I can't see there. My neck doesn't work.
How about that? Better? Awesome. All right. But God doesn't want us to go hang out with cows. He wants us to go hang out with people. And so I'm like, okay, God, I'll go hang out with people. And I don't know if you guys are the same, but do you ever find yourself trying to make deals with him? Like, okay, God, I'll go to church and I'll go hang out with your people, but I won't preach. And so typically, I hear God up there. I envision him up there in his wise council in heaven going, hey guys, get a load of this guy. He's down there telling me what he's going to do and what he's not going to do, and then they have a good laugh about it. And so this is an act of obedience this morning for me, and it's an opportunity to reconnect with kind of what I used to do, and I'm looking forward to it. It was back in September. I had to go to North Dakota to check on some cow stuff up there. And so I had to go get on a plane at DIA. And so I'm going through the airport and get to airport security, which I know is everybody's favorite. And so I'm getting through there and getting in one of the extremely long lines and waiting. And I see the TSA agent up there, and she's actually one of the nice ones. She's very kind. You know, telling people to take their shoes off and, you know, put your laptop here and do all this. And you know, some of those guys get a little bit of power and decide they're going to really wield it. And she wasn't that way. She was a very kind, nice black lady. And she, as I'm getting closer, I hear her, you know, telling people what to do. And so I get up there and I grab a bin and I take my cowboy hat off and I put it in there and take my shoes off, put it in there, and wallet and everything and. You know, we're sliding it down the rollers, and I'm getting up there pretty close, and she stops. She looks to stop. She looked at me. Just, can I ask you something? I said, sure. Has you got any metal in your body? Is this like a trick question? I'm not sure how to answer this, because I'm afraid if I answer it truthfully, something bad's going to happen to me. And so I said, yes, ma'am, as a matter of fact, I do. And she said, you mind telling me where it is and how big it is? And I said, well, I got a 6-inch plate in my left ankle. She said, hon, this is not the line for you. What do you mean it's not the line for me? I've been in this line for 30 minutes. It's got to be the line for me. She said, no, the scanner in this line is really sensitive. And it's going to pick that metal up in your body, and then those two big guys over there are going to body cavity search you. She didn't say that, but that's what I heard. And I was not looking forward to that. So she's like, you're better off in a different line. I'm like, seriously? You're going to make me pick all my stuff up and go and find a new line? And I said, well, I'm already right here. What should I do? She says, I'll tell you what, you just run around over there to that other scanner and you cut in front of all those people and you tell them I said you could do that. Thank you, nice black lady. I'm going to go do that. So I'm running around to my, well, first I said, all my stuff's here and it's about ready to go through x-ray machine and I'm not supposed to leave my stuff unattended in the airport. There's signs everywhere. And I said, will you watch it for me? She says, legally I can't do that. Give me the big wink. So here I go, run around to my sock and feet, get through the scanner. I passed, got through, came around, got my stuff, thanked her, and went on. And so I get to the food court and bought myself a beef sandwich, which I know is pretty surprising to most of you. Beef is delicious and nutritious, in case you don't know. Got to get my beef plug in today. So I'm going and I sit down at the terminal. I'm eating my beef sandwich. And I got to thinking, like, how did she know? Like, I was in that line for a long time, and this lady never asked anybody in front of me if they had metal in their body. And while I was listening, she never asked anybody behind me if they had metal in their body. So how did she know? The hat. The cowboy hat. So in her experience, cowboys, generally, a high percentage of them tend to have metal in their body. Right, Craig? And that's because of our way of life and the fact that we do a lot of dumb things. Right, Craig? And so she was able to determine by what I was wearing, by my outfit. Don't you love that outfit? I love it when people call it your cowboy outfit. I was out in public not too long ago, and a lady came up to me and said, oh my God, oh my gosh, I just love your outfit. And I said, well, thank you. I said, you know, what I'm doing is I'm trying to go for a Western look here. I was hoping that the sweat stains in my hat would match the manure stains on my jeans, and that would complete the ensemble, right? I think I pulled it off, guys. But anyway, so she could tell by my outfit that I had metal in my body, and so this lady, her job was to identify that. And while I was sitting there, I got to wondering, okay, she was able to easily identify me by my outfit or my cowboy uniform, if you will. Could she have as easily identified me as a Christian? And so that's the question we're going to ask today, and that's the question we're going to answer today. Okay. So God has always, since the beginning of creation, He's always set His people apart. He's always made them recognizable, meaning that they're different from everybody else. You go back to, back in Moses' day, God's people didn't look the same, they didn't act the same, they didn't speak the same as the rest of the world. And that's because they were God's, and He wanted them to be different. He wanted them to portray God's nature, and so they couldn't act like the rest of the world. They had strict requirements on how they could look. Their clothing was different, their head coverings, their beards. They were circumcised. I know you couldn't see that, but God knew that. And then in their rituals, their prayers, their fasting, their sacrifices that they made for their forgiveness of sins was unique to God's people. They weren't like other people. Okay? And then even in Jesus' time when he lived, I mean, it was obvious that the Jews didn't look like the Romans. Their facial features were different. Their clothing was different. The way they spoke was different. The way they acted was different. That's because God is consistent in that he wants his people set apart. He wants them to look different. He wants them to be different. And then you come to today. How does that look today? Well, when Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, that was the first opportunity ever that all people could belong to God, not just his chosen. All people had the opportunity to be God's people, but they had to make a choice, just like we've all had to make a choice on whether we're going to believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the second you do that, you're changed. Jesus said, you got two options. You can either be with me or you're against me. There's no gray area. You're either with me or against me. So the wise option is to pick Jesus, right? And guess what? Then you're on his team. There's Jesus' team and there's the other team. And so we get to pick our team, guys. And I don't know if any of you watch playoff football, which has been pretty prevalent. When the two teams play each other, okay, how are they differentiated? How does one team know that because they're wearing helmets, they can't different uniforms. Thank you. They're wearing different uniforms. So if we're on two different teams, guess what? We're wearing two different uniforms. And today we're going to talk about the Christian uniform. Okay. In Romans 12:1, Paul says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn how God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." So that means when we become a Christian, that at the moment that we accept Jesus Christ and are saved, we are transformed. We're transformed from what the world uniform was to what God's uniform is for our lives. Okay? We're still, being God's people, we're still expected to center our lives around him. Okay? The common denominator in all of history is that God's people become selfless. Their lives are not centered around themselves anymore. They're centered around God. They're centered around his existence. They're centered around glory to him. The lives are not centered around worldly possessions, but the heavenly possessions that we are going to get. Okay? So at that moment, we trade our worldly uniform for a Christian one. And so what does the uniform of a Christian follower look like? That's what we're going to talk about today. There's five ways that the Bible identifies what the Christian uniform looks like. There's more than five ways. I picked five ways because it's my sermon.
So. Amen.
Because we don't have time to go through the whole New Testament, which basically tells us how we're supposed to live and act. So, but these are five identifiable ways that Christians can wear the uniform and show that they're God's people. The first one is the whole armor of God. Okay, all of these five are unique to Christians. They're not available to the rest of the world. They're only available to us. Okay, and they're only available because God has provided them. That's the only way that we attain them. Good morning. Great to see you guys. It's like an apparition. He was there. He wasn't there, and then he was. And so, anyway. Sorry. Where was I? Whole armor of God. Okay, so in Ephesians 6:13, Paul says, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news that you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So Kevin's done a great sermon on in depth on the whole armor of God. If you want to know more about that, go back and watch that. We're going to run over it here real quick. But so the whole armor of God, when we put on that uniform, it includes the belt of truth, which is God's truth, not the lies of the world. This is God's truth. The body armor of righteousness, when we put that on, it means we're morally right and free of the wrongdoing in God's eyes. The shoes of peace provide harmony in our relationships, especially our relationship with God. The shield of faith, that enables us to trust God in everything in our life. Everything. The big things and the little things. The helmet of salvation. When we put that on, it shows us that we are saved from the effects of sin in our lives. The wages of sin is death. When we put on Christ's helmet of salvation, we're saved because Jesus shed his blood for us. And then the sword of the Spirit. The Spirit is our guide in this life. And the Spirit helps us use the Word of God to defend our faith. So we got the first part of our uniform, Christian uniform, that God has provided for us is the whole armor of God. The second one are the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? In Galatians 6:22, Paul says, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There's no law against these things." The fruits of the Spirit are unique to Christ's follower. Okay? Because the Spirit is unique to Christ's followers. Only God's people get the Spirit inside of them. And so these fruits, you might look around in the world and see some of these characteristics in people, but they are not the fruits of the Spirit, because the Spirit is only available to us. Okay? Love. You know, God is love. It's the biggest, it's the most important thing that he'll tell you in the Bible. Love him and then love each other. Joy. We are provided the opportunity for the joy of knowing that we are God's people and he's going to take care of us. Same thing with peace. We get the peace of knowing that no matter what happens in our life, God is in control. He's taking care of us. Patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are all evidence of God's nature. Okay? They're not evidence of human nature. I don't know if you guys have ever noticed that stuff doesn't always come natural to us. Okay? Sometimes we have to work at those things. Okay? So we've got two parts of our uniform on now. We've got the whole armor of God, and we've got the fruits of the Spirit. The third one is light. Okay? In Matthew 5:14, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden. No one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Light is unique. God provided it. He said, "Let there be light." And then he provided his son, Jesus, to let the light shine through him. And in so, it can shine through us. And we are supposed to let that light shine through us. The light in our lives is a direct result of the fruits of the Spirit. Okay? When we are doing God's will, we shine. And God says, don't sit in a dark hole and live in fear and darkness. He says, get up on a hill and shine your light. Because there's other people out there who don't know him. And the only way they're going to know him is to see that light and come to it. And when they come to it, we get to tell them the good news. And we get to tell them how we found the light and how they can get it too. Okay? So we've got armor of God. We've got fruits of the Spirit. We have light. Okay? The fourth part of the Christian uniform that God has provided for us is forgiveness. Forgiveness is unique to Christianity. Kevin taught me that, or someone taught Kevin, and then he taught it to me. Christian is the only religion that offers forgiveness of sins. The only one. You know why? Because we're the only religion that has Christ, who died for our sins. That's why. Okay. So the uniqueness of wearing this uniform is that when we do wrong, we get to go to God and ask for forgiveness. It's that simple. It's not that complicated. Okay. We get to go and ask for forgiveness. And then we're granted it. The hard part is then he asks us to do the same. He asks us to take that same thing and go and offer that to the people who've sinned against us in our life. But it's a beautiful, beautiful gift that we've been given and that we can give to each other, because it's not normal in this world. It's not part of the world's nature. It's only part of God's nature to do that. So when we put on that uniform, we get to stand out and we get to show that we are recognizable as God's people. Part of forgiveness is repentance. Okay? Repentance comes after forgiveness. Okay? Repentance is a turning away from sin and a turning to God. Oftentimes, forgiveness in the Bible is linked with baptism. Okay? A lot of people get the wrong idea that baptism is linked with salvation. That is not true. Baptism has nothing to do with salvation, but it does have something to do with repentance, because baptism is a outward public display of our intention to repent. Okay? And you know, when you read the Bible, it's always get baptized and repent. Okay? So so baptism is part of this too, the uniform of God, to show that we understand that when we are forgiven, we are supposed to try to stop doing what we've been doing to be forgiven for. And that's called repentance. Okay? Kevin and I were talking the other day, and one side note on this is, let's make sure we don't confuse Christian repentance with hypocrisy. Okay? I've been called a hypocrite. Okay? I had a guy call me a hypocrite because his life was devastated by alcoholism, and I came in and tried to help him with that. Okay? And he says, well, you're no better than I am. You've done all the same things I have. I said, you're exactly right. I have done all those things, but I'm not a hypocrite because I don't do those things anymore. Okay? I've repented of that. I've gone away from that. I've seen the suffering. I've felt the pain. I've seen the devastation that it caused my family. And through the grace of God, I was able to give that addiction up in my life and not lose my self-control to drunkenness anymore. And so that makes me a repentant Christian, not a hypocrite. So be careful when we start talking about that. Everybody in this room, everybody standing up here, I'm a messenger of God's word. I am not perfect. I'm working on being a better example of God's word. But we have to remember that a repentant Christian is actually, I think repentant Christians, if you want to accumulate wisdom in this world, the best way is to go talk to some repentant Christians, because they've been there, guys. They know, and they know how to fix it. Okay, so that's four. We've got the whole armor of God. We've got the fruits of the Spirit. We got light. We've got forgiveness and repentance. Okay, the last one, number five. How we're recognized as Christians in this world, as God's people, are our battle wounds. Okay? And this one is sometimes pretty hard to talk about and pretty hard to handle because, man, we're in a spiritual battle. If you don't know that, you might want to read about it. Most people have experienced it. Okay, we're in a spiritual battle, and when you're in a battle, it leaves marks, it leaves injuries, it leaves scars, it leaves wounds. Okay, and when these wounds are inflicted by the world that we live in, they're inflicted by the devil. They're inflicted by the consequences of the poor decisions we make of our own free will. Okay, and they're not always visible. You know, circling back to when I was in the airport, that lady. She didn't know. She couldn't see my wound, but she knew it was there. because she knew that the nature of what I did would leave wounds and marks on my body. Okay, well, God knows our wounds are there too, even though not everybody can see them. God knows they're there, guys. Jesus has scars on his body, and he was perfect. Okay? So the wounds that we have on our body are not to be ashamed of. They're to be, they're just marks of a life lived in God's service. Okay. When the great thing about the wounds and the scars on our body is that God has provided a healer, not a blue healer. They inflict more wounds and scars on your body. I'm sure I offended somebody there with that, but not a fan. But anyway, God has provided the healer, and the healer is Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I know you have wounds on your body. I know you have battle scars from this battle that you're fighting. But God provided him so that we could go to him and he could heal us. We go to Jesus for healing and comfort and rest and peace and to unload all our burdens on him. And that is unique to Christianity. The rest of the world doesn't have that. Only Christ followers can wear that uniform. Okay? So, how does the world recognize us? How does God recognize us? Through the whole armor of God, through the fruit of the Spirit, through the light that we shine in our lives, through the act of receiving and giving forgiveness, and for the fact that we have battle scars and wounds from the good fight that we're putting up. Guys, once we put on this uniform, we wear it forever. God promised us that once we put this on, it'll never be taken from us. We can't be traded. We can't be cut. We can't be retired. I guess we can be retired when we go to live with Jesus in heaven. I don't think we're really retired then. We just get a different job. Our 401k kicks in at that point. And it's a big one. We're expected to wear this uniform 24/7. It's not something that we take on and take off. Not something that we only wear when we're standing in front of people on a Sunday morning. It's we wear it when we're at home, when no one can see us. Okay? We wear this uniform all the time. We are charged with recruitment. Okay? We can't just sit here and say, "Oh, good, I got God's uniform. I feel great. I'm good to go." God has asked us to go out and spread His good news all over this world and recruit from the other team, because that team, their uniform it's got a little fire in it. Okay, it's a little hot. Okay, and we have an opportunity through all of the through the goodness of God and all the things that He's given us to go and recruit from that other team. And we're not asked to do that. We're commanded to do it. I just want to throw this out also today. Guys, this isn't an exercise in Christian comparison. I don't want you to look around and compare yourself to other Christians. Okay? That is it's a recipe for either being prideful and self-righteous or being envious and self-loathing. Okay? That the standard that we're trying to achieve is not to try to be better than other sinners. The standard is to try to look at Jesus. Okay? He is the standard. Okay? Pretty high standard, but we're asked to do our best. To put on this uniform and go and try to attain that standard that the best we can. We got our whole life to do it. And that could be a day, or that could be, 50 years, 100 years, I don't know. There's a little guy in here, a little Marshall. It could be 100 years of his life. But don't fall into the trap of comparing yourself to other Christians. We can come alongside them and we can help them where they need help, and we can accept help from them where we need help. So in closing, when we go out and tell people the good news, part of the good news is, if you haven't read the end of this book, our team wins. I'm going to go to God in prayer. God, thank you so much for the opportunity this morning. I'm just so grateful to be here today to speak your word, Lord. And I'm grateful for the Spirit for being with me. Grateful for everybody who's here to hear it. God, we're so thankful to you for making us your kids and for allowing us the opportunity to do that through our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ, your Son. Yeah, so we're thankful for you providing the uniform that we get to wear, and our job is to wear that as well as we can. God, I know we're all in different stages of attaining that and understanding it and living it. I just ask that you be with us. I just ask that your church can be united in that, and that we can work together to wear that uniform better. I also ask that you place people in our lives who don't know you, who haven't seen your light, who haven't experienced the incredible blessings that you've offered, and so that we can show them the true way to life, and that they would have a chance at everlasting life with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.